Welcome to Kingsway Caringbah, a community inspired by love to live differently. We're so glad you're here with us, engaging with God's word and taking your next step toward experiencing God, community and mission in a richer and fuller way. If you'd like to join us at one of our church locations, connect into a small group, make a financial gift, or to discover more about Kingsway, head to kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app. Simply search Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this teaching will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
God, I just want to say that you leave us speechless. That there is more to you than we could ever, ever understand or imagine. And that we do what we can. And we're grateful that you take it and love it. But you deserve so much more. So God, tonight, today, we just put you in your place. And we say, God, you are sovereign. You are our Lord. And we love you and we're grateful. And Jesus, as we step into this next moment in our service, may we do it with an open heart and an open mind. May we keep nothing back from you, because in you we are safe. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Hello, everybody. Hello. Thanks, team. That was beautiful. We have been exploring over the last few weeks. Just getting my stuff ready. We've been exploring over the last few weeks what it means to be a carrier of light. We've been preparing ourselves for Easter. We're not too far off Easter now. We're only about 2 weeks away from it. And last week, Dave preached a wonderful message. And if anyone can actually remember the 16 points that he spoke about, I'm sure there's a prize, right, Dave? Because 17. Andrew Hewitt got 20 points. I was really challenged, and I'm really sorry, Dave. I was sitting listening to the message and I was thinking, wow, this is impressive stuff. But there's no way I could tell you back those 17 points. And if you can, wow, I'm really impressed. I'm really impressed. There you go. Dave's even given them to us in Be Connected today, or this week, last week, in your email. It was full of practical things. Challenging things. It was encouraging us to be a light in a dark spot, and he was giving us things to ponder and tools to reflect on in order to do that well. This is not an accident, by the way. For those listening on the podcast, I have a string of lights up here and only one is working. That isn't an accident, that's on purpose. See, Dave and before him Jen and before him Kim were talking about this has to be what we are called to do. This has to be our choice to engage with God and be a light in a dark space. My challenge to us this morning is that in order to be a carrier of light and a light in a dark space, we need to go to the light in our dark spaces. I was enjoying a lovely afternoon with some friends yesterday, and we went to a cafe. Don't you love going to a cafe? I do. Love a good coffee. I didn't drink coffee until I came to Kingsway, by the way. You've all corrupted me. great. We sat together. I hadn't seen them in a long time. And on the way there, I was reflecting on what I should say to them. I don't know if you're like me. I'm a bit socially awkward, so I like to prepare my brain for things I'm going to talk about. So I was driving in going, this is going to be lovely. I'm really excited to hang out with this friend. And these are the things I could talk about. I want to find out how they're going. They've got a new job. I want to find out about their new job. And their parents aren't doing so well, so I want to ask them about their parents. And I was preparing for this moment with my friend, and we had a lovely time together, and we did drink the coffee, and it was a great time of communion and sharing. And today, I want to take you to this space. Let's read. Today, we're going to be reading from John chapter 3. Now, it is a long passage. So if you have your Bible with you in whatever form it comes in, grab it and let's have a look at it together. Because only bits of it will be on the screen. John chapter 3, it says, verse 1, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark, stop and think about that for a second. After dark, one evening, he came to speak with Jesus, Rabbi. Rabbi means teacher. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Oh, I'm struggling here with the fans. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised. I know I'm struggling. These fans are awesome on a hot day. When I say, you must be born again. Thanks, Dave. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from. Do you want me to take a step closer? Dave is reaching out and helping me hold the page steady. Thanks, Dave. Teamwork. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you. We tell you what we know and have seen and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And here we know the one we all know and can recite off by heart. For this is how God loved the whole world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son, and the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world. But people love the darkness more than the light, for the actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. And everyone takes a big breath. Because in about 2 minutes, I have explained to you everything that happened in this conversation. There are a few things I really want us to focus on today. Jesus poured a whole lot of information into this man. But it's this. That I want you to focus on. So Nicodemus was a religious leader. He was someone who knew a lot of stuff. He was someone who was highly respected. He was somebody that if someone else in the community had a question about faith, they would go and see Nicodemus or someone in his position. He was kind of one of the leaders in the community. He knew a lot of stuff. He'd heard about Jesus, and it's interesting, he actually says to Jesus, "We recognize that God is with you." He doesn't say, "I recognize that God is with you." He says, "The community and the leaders of the community, we recognize that God is with you." But let's stop and think for a second about that phrase, "after dark." For some reason, Nicodemus didn't want to go and see Jesus during the day. There was something that was stopping him from engaging with Jesus in public. He was carrying a whole lot of opinion. He was carrying the weight of his position. He was drawn to Jesus. He had questions for Jesus. He wanted to be around Jesus, but he had the stuff. He couldn't go in daylight. He had the stuff. He had his learning. He had his professional understanding. He had his culture. He had his upbringing. He had his doubts. He had his questions. He had his confusion. He had his own agenda. He carried the stuff, and for some reason he couldn't go and speak to Jesus in the daylight. He chose to speak to him at night in the dark. My challenge to you is this. What dark spaces are you in or around at the moment? It's interesting, the verse before John chapter 3, verse 1, so the final verse of John chapter 2, he actually says, this is talking about Jesus, it says, "No one needed to tell Jesus about human nature." And listen carefully, he knew what was in each person's heart. So Nicodemus didn't have to explain all the stuff because Jesus already knew all the stuff. But in the dark, with all the things, Nicodemus came and he sat. He sat with the stuff. I want to be very clear on this. And in verse 20, it talks about, we read it before, it talks about, this is, let me be very clear. It says, people don't come near the light for fear that their sin and their stuff is going to be called out. But also, right next to that, and what we just read, it actually says in John chapter 3, verse 17, "For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, reject, condemn, pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation," and listen carefully, "be made safe and sound in him." See, all the dark stuff, all the things that we kind of carry around with us, we don't bring it into here because we're scared that it's going to be pulled out. But that's not what Jesus is about. We can be safe and sound in this space. We can be safe and sound. See, to be a light in a dark place, we actually have to go to the light in a dark place. And the stuff is okay. He knows he's not going to reject you. No rejection. It's okay. Now, the interesting thing about Nicodemus is that he was, as I said before, he was a learned man. He knew stuff. He knew a whole bunch of stuff. And Jesus was okay with that And so every question that Nicodemus threw out, Jesus was all right with. And he actually taught Nicodemus in those moments. Yeah, he didn't just try to change the topic. He actually did his best to teach Nicodemus in the moment. Now, I was, my dad, for those who don't know, he's a builder and he has stuff lying around all over the place. And actually, I shouldn't say that. He's much tidier than I am. But I went looking for a light bulb, looking for inspiration this week for what I was going to talk about. And I went looking for a light bulb and I found this one. And Dad has obviously used it, yeah? Because he's written on it, he said, "This is old and it's dull." So this is his way of saying, don't bother with this one. But it works. So if desperate situations, you can grab it. But this is old and this is dull. And I was thinking about that. You know what? The world is all about shining your bright light. Just listen to Rihanna a little bit and she'll tell you to shine bright like a diamond. You know, you do you. Let your light shine. This isn't a message that's in a church environment. It's all over the place. You listen to pop culture long enough, that's what it'll tell you. So how do you, as someone engaging with Jesus, not become old and dull? How do you stand out in a place where everyone's trying to shine? And I think Nicodemus has something to teach us about this. See, Nicodemus brought his questions. He wasn't just happy having the conversation with the other religious leaders about what they think about Jesus. And Nicodemus said that. We think, we believe, we think that you are God's messenger. We think you are a great teacher. But Nicodemus wasn't just happy to chat to his mates. He actually wanted to go to the source. And he brought all those questions to the conversation. In John 8, a few chapters after, Jesus actually says, "I am the light of the world." And even in his conversation with Nicodemus, in verse, I think it's 20, let me check verse 19, Jesus states that God's light has come. God's light has come. And all Nicodemus had were the questions and the lack of understanding. And I actually think he was sitting in the right seat to do that. Being honest here with Jesus is exactly the right space to wrestle with your questions. He's okay with that. But his challenge to Nicodemus in this space wasn't about his understanding or his learning or his ideas. His challenge was about his faith. You see, Nicodemus had questions and Jesus helped him by giving questions. And Nicodemus brought a challenge and Jesus brought a challenge of faith back to him. And Nicodemus brought his intellect and Jesus brought an invitation. And his invitation was to trust him. And his invitation was to lean into faith. And Jesus kept saying, "I assure you, I'm being honest with you." In the older versions of the Bible, it says, "Truly, truly." I like that. I mean, it's old language, but can you hear the heart? Truly, truly, truly. Twice he says it. Truly, truly. Grab this, guys. Nicodemus came seeking knowledge, and Jesus offered him life through faith. But the truth is that Nicodemus came He came. Now, faith is accepting. Faith is embracing something or someone as truth. Faith is union with God and His Word. Faith is an inner confidence that God alone is enough. Jesus was saying, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I'm talking to you about right now, but I'm so glad you're here and I'm glad you came, and let me encourage you toward faith. And that's the place that God wants us. In order not to become an old and dull light bulb that no one is paying any attention to and gets put away in a shelf, you have to be ready to rumble with God's truth, to trust His Word when you don't understand, to be challenged in your choices, to be made aware of what it is that could hold you back from being led forward. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it encourages us to focus our gaze on Jesus, who birthed faith within us, and listen to this, who leads us forward into faith's perfection. He doesn't say, oh, you believe me now, done and dusted. He doesn't do that. He continues to walk us forward. That encourages me a lot, because some days I get it wrong. But I choose to come back here and engage and wrestle with the stuff so that I can be led forward by Him alone. When was the last time you chose to engage with Jesus in a faith-building and deliberate way? We are a work in progress. And isn't that fantastic? So we're sitting here in our conversation and we're choosing to engage with Him. He can handle the questions. He can handle it. Doesn't scare Him away. Loves it. And we're fixing our gaze on Him. And we're rumbling it out. And the great thing about being a carrier of light, the great thing about this moment and choosing to come to Him in the dark places, because remember, He is the light, is that it's a place of surrender and rest. I can just come. Nicodemus just came. He brought his stuff with him. He just came. Jesus had no expectation on him. He was offering him something. He was giving him something. He wasn't expecting him to do anything special. It's about surrender. It's about rest. Let me read something to you. John chapter 3, verse 21. This is the Amplified Version. It says this: but he who practices truth, who does what is right, comes out into the light so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, wrought with God. So that is what we're talking about, being a carrier of light. What I do is a representation of what my Father in heaven has done in me, and I'm going to go into the world and be a light. But this is really cool. Divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon Him. Being a light in a dark place is about depending on Him. Going with God, with God's help. It is a place of surrender and rest. Because at the end of the day, He's my light in a dark world. And I just have to bring my stuff to him and let him help me do the same. I wanted to bring a challenge to us this morning. On this side, I've got a whole rope full of lights, and one is out. Having said all that, my challenge to you is this. Don't listen. Don't be in the right place and choose not to engage. It is very obvious that there is a light out. This string of lights isn't complete because that one's missing. Don't show up and be in the right place around the right people without actually choosing to sit here in the quiet places and engage in the wrestle and engage in surrender and engage in the dark places with the light of the world. Don't show up and be that person because you're the one who's missing out. I have been in massive choirs, big choirs, hundreds of people. And I'm very aware when I stand among hundreds of people, I think I don't need to worry. I don't need to do the right thing really because everyone else is doing the right thing. And if I just kind of make it up and whatever, no one's going to notice. Because everyone else around me is doing the right thing. So I'm in the right place in public. Everyone else is doing the right thing around me, so I'll be okay and no one will notice. Now, on the flip side, I've also conducted large choirs with hundreds of people. And I can tell you right now that that stands out. I notice that. When that one person chooses not to engage wholeheartedly in what is happening, I notice, I see it. And I'm disappointed because everyone else is suffering because one person is just kind of making it up as they go along. And I'm also disappointed because they're missing out on the wonderful experience of participating in something quite extraordinary. My challenge to you this morning is this. It's the same challenge Paul struggled with in 1 Corinthians. Don't do the stuff and be in the right places and miss out on this quiet moment. Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, listen, I have worked really hard. I have done the stuff. And in verse 27, he says, but I'm fearful that I will have done all the stuff and preached all of the sermons and been in all the right places and still miss out on what God has got for me. And I believe it all comes back to this quiet conversation. So this challenges me extraordinarily. I think there are two people in the room that would relate to that light bulb that's all switched off. Either you're sitting and going, I'm in the right place, but I'm still not quite sure about the Jesus thing. Come. Just come with, come and hang out with him. Just come. Or you're sitting here going, I'm doing all the right stuff. I'm in all the right places. No one is ever going to know that I never come to this place. And you're the one missing out. It's a choice to engage. We're never going to be a carrier of light unless we come to the light of the world with our stuff. And no matter what you're hiding, it's okay to come here. This is okay. This is safe. This is safe. This is sound. He already knows the stuff. Bring it anyway. Bring the stuff. Bring the stuff. He's okay with it. He's going to challenge you in it. But he's okay with it. So my question to you is this, everyone. What is your quiet space with Jesus? Where is it? When is it? What's it like? For you to be a carrier of his light, you need to hang out with him. We're going to move into a time of communion. Communion is a really special time because it is the quiet space. My challenge to you is this. Don't just eat the stuff. Don't do the stuff. Don't do the stuff. Don't be that light bulb. Don't just do the stuff because everyone else is doing the stuff. No. Let's take this moment. Yeah? Let me tell you something. The final time we hear about Nicodemus is at the end of the Gospel of John. And I don't know. I don't know what Jesus is. Only Jesus knows. I don't know what Nicodemus's heart was like with him. I don't know. I'm not told that. I know that he left this conversation and he went back to his life, but I don't know how changed he was. I don't know that. Only God knows that. But the final time we hear about Nicodemus is he went with Joseph of Arimathea. And interestingly, the Bible says that Joseph was a secret disciple. I've been wrestling that a week. I'm still not quite sure, but here we have two men who have a lot of expectation, obviously, on them publicly, and they can't go public with how much they love Jesus or have enjoyed his company, but they've done this well, and they go together to a horrible place. And they take an incredibly broken body. A body that was so disfigured and beat up. And they take a broken body and they remove it from a cross. And they wash it. And they dress it. And they wrap it in linen. And they put it in a tomb. I don't know where Nicodemus ended up, but he chose to put himself in an incredibly vulnerable position and to take care of his friend Jesus in the most respectful, beautiful, gentle, quiet way. I don't know what happens here. That's between you and Jesus. But it's from this place that you can be a true carrier of his light. So I might grab the band up because we're going to move into a time of communion. And I want you to take this time. I want you to see it for what it is. It's a quiet space. And it's not about doing the right thing. It's not about looking like you know what you're doing either. It's about you and him. It's just about you and him. So when you're ready, in your own time and in your own way, I want you to come. There are spaces around the room. There are three stations. Take what you need and go back and have a rumble Have a wrestle. Be honest. Be real. Let me pray for you before you do that. God, I want to thank you so much that there is nothing that we bring that you don't know. And God, I want to thank you so much that you see the pretending. And God, I'm sorry when I do it. Because down deep, God, I want to be a carrier of your light. So God, I pray over this quiet space that you would have your way, that we would choose to be real, we would choose to wrestle, we would choose to engage, and we would choose to pay attention. Amen.
Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. We pray that you would go from here fully aware of God's presence with you to show his love, grace and kindness to the world around you. If you have a story to share of how you've been inspired by God's love and the impact he has made in your life this week or the lives of others around you, we would love to hear from you. Simply email us at mystory@kingsway.org.au. We'd love to celebrate what God is doing in your life and be encouraged by your faith. Thanks again for being with us today. We cannot wait to connect again with you soon.